God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts in this place together be found pleasing to you. You are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Good morning, everybody. And for some of you, you've heard me speak already, so hello again. It's a pleasure to be back in this place with all of you. Thank you so much, Rob, for inviting me back to preach this morning. And I hope that all of you have had a good and restful and delicious and hopefully conflict-free Thanksgiving. And I know many people here are still recovering from their food comas and Black Friday shopping. And if you're like me, you're also feeling the back-to-work blues probably. And so I feel you on that. But just to make things a little easier this morning, we're doing more of a topic study where I don't really have a particular text, so it should be short and sweet. But like Rob said, as all of you have noticed by now, Christmas is now here. It is in your face, it's everywhere, you can't escape it, and that's fine with me because this is my bread and butter. Christmas is my favorite time of year, is my favorite holiday, and just I feel like I have to show y'all this. I showed the previous group. I have a countdown on my phone. I always know how many days till Christmas it is. It's 24 days, by the way. And so that in itself has gotten me teased, and people roll their eyes at me sometimes because they're like, oh my gosh, she's crazy. But in the words of Taylor Swift, I say all the haters gonna hate. So I just shake it off. It's fine. I will see myself out for that joke. But seriously, there are so many reasons why this is the favorite time of year for so many. Families have an opportunity to be reunited with one another, folks that they haven't seen in a long time, you finally get to see again, and it's good fellowship together. It's another chance to indulge in some more tasty food. It's not just for Thanksgiving, it's Christmas too. Christmas lights, a personal favorite of mine, are everywhere. And you have Christmas tunes and hymns on the radio 24/7. Ugly Christmas sweater parties. I don't know if that's your jam, but they're always fun whenever I go to them. And young children are either being delighted or traumatized by the experience of sitting on Santa's lap at the mall. And around this time of year, acts of good deeds and kindness, they're promoted, they're preached more than any other time of year. So these are good things. Even so, there's another side to this season. While good deeds are preached and championed around this time, it never really seems to last. It's like as soon as Christmas Day has come and gone, it's stopped. And in addition to that, adults are stressed from the thought of the financial burdens that they place on themselves or others place on them indirectly just by this expectation of needing to buy and give gifts to people. One cannot get away from the endless retail ads on TV, in the mail, on online. It seems like there's a sale for everything at all places. Apparently, everyone needs a Lexus this year. Everyone is making a trip to Jared or Kay to get some jewelry. And it just becomes easier and easier to imagine these big companies just licking their chops at this opportunity to make a profit off of the goodwill of the season. And one thing I haven't mentioned yet, this time of year can be incredibly painful for many families, especially those who have lost a dear friend or family member recently, or maybe not so recently. Grief has no deadline. Perhaps a loved one died years ago, but the holidays continue to be days that are hard to navigate emotionally. So instead of a day much anticipated, Christmas becomes a day that people dread. And there's many other things I could talk about. I haven't mentioned the experience of the impoverished, of the homeless, and what does this season say to them, or what does the behavior of people say to them around this time of year as compared to other times of the year. So needless to say, this season in itself carries a lot of baggage with it, both positive and negative. And there's so many things going on that it can be easy to become wrapped up in it and lose ourselves in it. And we just get swept away by the commercialism of it all, which isn't anything new, to be aware of. We know that it's there. You just need to watch A Charlie Brown Christmas to see that. But this is a familiar tension. Even though we think we know the answer, there are still many of us who wonder, what does this time of year mean for us? What should it mean for us? I'm not sure what the traditions of this church congregation are when it comes to the liturgical calendar or the church calendar, but I think there are at least a few of us here who know that Advent has started. And for those of you who don't know, Advent is like the Lenten season before Easter. It's a time of spiritual preparation and meditation as one waits for the coming of Christ. For the well-meaning folks in years past, they have tried to remind themselves and keep their minds set on the reason for the season, meaning Jesus Christ, which is good. But even so, I fear that in spite of their good intentions, the meaning of Christmas and the Christmas season has still been watered down somewhat. Even though we fix our eyes on God and we remind each other that we are celebrating the coming of Jesus, what people imagine is only the coming of baby Jesus. Dr. Yancey of the Garland School of Social Work at Baylor once remarked that it seems that most people of most backgrounds, including different faith traditions or those without a faith tradition, they don't seem to have much of a problem with people remembering the birth of a baby, because there's nothing threatening or challenging about an infant. Everybody loves babies. Well, most people. But we remember the actual event, the historical fact that there was a baby born to a young maiden, the Virgin Mary, all those years ago in Bethlehem. But we often forget or lose sight of the earth-shattering significance and meaning behind it. We are not merely remembering the birth of a baby. We are remembering the coming of the God of the universe, because he chose to come and dwell among us as a fellow human being. Which is huge. It's huge, and it cannot be overstated. And the world up until that point had been in a real darkness. Genesis spoke of the initial fall of human beings, and everything since then had been a struggle. Just one thing after the other. Efforts were made by people to get themselves out of this hole that they fell in, but all they managed to do was just dig themselves deeper and deeper. And God's creation would have been without hope, and hope being this key factor of resilience just to make it through life. They would have been without hope if not for the fact that God made a plan and a promise to get his beloved out of their mess, out of our mess. And I read recently, speaking of hope, that there is a difference between wishes and hope. Often our wishes are very self-focused and general. They can apply to a wide variety of things. And when I mean self-focused, I don't necessarily mean selfish in that we're just looking out for our own best interests, but they do pertain to our situation and things that we want to happen for us. For example, I wish I would get that promotion. I wish that I had not gotten sick. I wish that the weather would be better this week. I wish that I could be in this place rather than this place right now. Hope, on the other hand, is a little different. It implies a patient, or maybe impatient, waiting with the expectation that something will come to pass. Put another way, it is the anticipation of, say, a promise being fulfilled. It's more specific. It's something more firm, it's concrete, something to put trust in. And creation, specifically the people of Israel, had hope that God would come through on his promise to save them from their fate. It was as old as God's curse on the serpent in Genesis 3:15 when he said, "I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall crush your head, and you shall bruise his heel." And this promise is repeated throughout Scripture many different times, and it seems to evolve and become more detailed as you go. And Isaiah 53 kind of becomes like the most detailed. It's known as one of the main suffering servant passages of the Bible. The Messiah, named a man of sorrows, is one who was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening for our well-being fell upon him, and by his scourging we are healed. His grave was assigned with wicked men. He had done no violence, nor was there any deceit in his mouth. Israel knew that this Messiah, this Savior, would come. They just didn't know when. And I think it's one reason why you come across many times in the Psalms this cry of, "How long, O Lord? How long must we wait?" No one knew when God would follow through on his promise, and this was the prayer of the people of God, that his servant would come and come quickly. And come he did, which we could spend time on, just examining what that in itself means as it pertains to the heart of the God that we serve. We have a God who is faithful, who does what he says he will do. And that could be a whole other sermon series, the character of God. But what I find curious is that even after all of this waiting and watching, the world still missed it. They still missed the coming of Jesus. His birth was one of humble beginnings, just like we sung about earlier in that song, Baby Son. He was familiar with poverty from his first second of life on earth. And only a handful of people knew that the King of Kings had come. And when he started his ministry, there were still so many who could not see him for who he was. And I want to take a minute to point out something that I've noticed, and maybe some of you have noticed, I don't know, maybe I'm just weird and I'm by myself. But we often like to think of Jesus, when we think of Jesus, we imagine his life at the beginning and at the end. His birth story, this miracle story of being born to Mary and Joseph, and the angels proclaiming his birth and everything, it gives us all the feels. I mean, personally, I can't sing Silent Night without tearing up. It gives us the warm fuzzies. And then you fast forward to his death and resurrection, and that also gives us all the feels. It's something that he did for us in order to make us clean, to make us righteous. Hallelujah for that. Both should be worth celebrating. I'm not saying that they shouldn't, but we don't seem to afford the same reverence to his life, to his ministry. Because he challenged the established order and the normal or ordinary ways of doing things. By speaking and teaching truth, he made things more difficult for us, even if in the best way. And what do I mean by that? I mean teaching us to love our enemies, leaving our families and our possessions behind to follow him more completely, not passing judgment on others, and looking more closely at our own hearts and seeing what lies there that needs redemption. These are not easy things to do by any means, but it's how he wants us to live. And that's what his life meant. Preaching and teaching these things was revolutionary. I mean, he literally enraged the religious leaders of his time to the point where they wanted to kill him for the things that he was saying. And somehow, this is missed when we celebrate the Christmas season. We just keep it on baby Jesus, that's it. Which, you know, I don't necessarily know if that's just totally evil and bad, but still, there's more. There's more to be gained from looking at his whole life. And I don't know about you, but whenever I gather with folks, like friends and family, and we're celebrating a birthday of somebody that we love, we don't discuss the details surrounding the literal birth story that they had. We don't talk about how long the labor was. We don't talk about the name of the doctor. We don't talk about who was in the room or who was at the hospital or when they were able to go home. We gather and we celebrate the person that he or she has become. And we are able to tell and to show them how they have impacted us in our lives. And why should it be any different with Jesus? And these are things to consider, I think, as we enter into this season of Advent. I wonder how it would be if we were to consider the whole of Jesus' life and what it means for all of us in here and all of humanity, because we must remember something else. We are observing a waiting period in multiple ways. Advent is a waiting time. And by doing this and remembering the historical event of his birth, we are basically recreating this waiting that Israel did all those years ago, in that we're watching, we're waiting, we're praying, just like the people of God did thousands of years ago. But we are also in a period of waiting for a whole other coming of Jesus. And this time, he will not be a non-threatening infant. And this time, all the world will know who he is and that he has come. So I've talked about multiple things, but I come back to, what does this season mean for us? Realistically, it will mean the same things as always. It will mean gathering together with loved ones and buying gifts and baking cookies and all these other goodies and things. It will mean decorating our churches and our houses, our workplaces, and singing Christmas carols everywhere you go, especially just belting them like in the car. That's what I do. But it will mean remembering that awesome moment when Jesus was born and how a freaking angel army announced it in the night sky to some shepherds in the field. That would have been awesome to see. All good things. But I hope each of us here also remembers how we are to conduct ourselves in our everyday life according to how Jesus the man taught. We want to remember all of his life during this season. What are we doing to make sure that we don't lose ourselves in this time of year? How are we still loving God and our neighbor? How are we caring for the least of these? How are we living in accordance to Jesus' teachings to, as I talked about last time, all people? And how are we doing this not just during this season, but every day? Yes, Advent is a period of waiting, but I argue that it isn't limited to the Christmas season, because we are also waiting for something that has not happened yet. And this waiting is not passive, it's active. Henry Nouwen put it this way: active waiting means to be fully present fully to the moment, in the conviction that something is happening where you are and that you want to be present to it. A waiting person is someone who is present to the moment, who believes that this moment is the moment. Regardless of the holiday season, every day is important. Every moment is a chance to live our lives in such a way that our lives can be defined by love. And as I love to tell people who roll their eyes at me whenever I say that Christmas is something worth celebrating year-round, I say it's every day is a good day to celebrate the birth and overall coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ. So in this way, the Christmas season is both special and ordinary, just like any other day. I don't really have much else, but for all of you here and for those of you listening on the link, I pray that you would be filled with God's love this Christmas season and beyond. I pray that you would be able to spot the image of God in all people as you continue to go about your lives, regardless of what time of year it is. especially during the shopping. If someone cuts you off and steals your spot, don't lose your minds. But, you know, just don't miss Christ when he's staring you in the face, like the world did all those years ago. And I promise you, he isn't that hard to find. And lastly, and because I have not figured out how to turn off the chaplain switch in my brain completely yet, whether this season fills you with joy or dread or sorrow or just a meh feeling, I pray that you'd be able to hold on to this legitimate hope that we have that lies in the meaning of Advent, that he is coming again, and that in some ways he has never left, but is still present with all of us here now. And so, God, I thank you for this time that I've had to be with all these people in this space. I pray that you would work in their hearts, especially during this season. Don't let us become caught up in the hustle and bustle and the expectations, the obligations, all of that. This message goes for me, just like everyone else. Just fill us with your love, especially your love for others. Just walk with us every day and be that inspiration that we can draw from, that example that we can follow in our dealings with people, not just in the Christmas season, but every day after that. We want to be able to follow you more fully because we know who you are. We know your heart, and we thank you for who you are and what you have done for us. I offer all of these things in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son. Amen. I don't really have anything else. I told you it would be short and sweet today, so I'll just say a quick benediction over you, so if you could please stand. I pray protection over all of you and hope that you're able to enjoy this season. Grace and peace be with all of you. Absolutely.